Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wake up, Lincoln.
Come on, it's 6 o'clock. Rise and shine, rise and shine.
It's time for Early Break with Sip and Jake, brought to you by Gaina Trucking. Live from the Koppel Chevrolet GMC studios in the heart of Lincoln, America. Here's 93.7 The Ticket's Jake Sorensen.
Did seem kind of meh.
And Steve Sipple.
Surprisingly good.
This is Early Break with Sip and Jake, sponsored by Gaina Trucking.
Good morning, happy Thursday to you, Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Coach Bush on Early Break. Show ahead, Bill Bush. It is one of Bill's favorite days of the year.
Top three.
We got yesterday. We figured out it's Thanksgiving Eve. It is Easter, and it is today, Groundhog Day. A top three holiday for Coach Bill Bush.
Absolutely, Punxsutawney Phil, and then we got a looping Groundhog Day movie. Which Jake sent to us yesterday.
Yes, if you want to,
AMC, is that what it's on?
If you care to watch loop of 24 hours of Groundhog Day, AMC is your spot. I think it's already airing right now, all the way through midnight. So check out AMC.
It's a funny movie.
You want to see? You want to see it front to back? But the last scene, the last 15 minutes are epic. Is what I was going to put it. Epic.
They better be.
Yeah.
Because I'll try.
What time are you watching today?
I'm working today.
What, all 24 hours?
Yeah.
Maybe 10:30 tonight you turn it on?
I might turn it on about 7.
Okay, well, it'll be on. AMC, check it out.
Yep. 7 p.
Yeah. This is such a big day that you even brought a cake in.
I brought a cake.
Thank you for
we
that.
We have a cake in.
The cake says, happy Groundhog's Day on it.
So when I got it at Hy-Vee yesterday, I asked, you've probably had a lot of these today. She said she hadn't. So I was the first.
She hadn't.
I was the first Happy Groundhog Day cake that was, but it was awesome. The lady did a great job.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Price of eggs must be, that cake's $100. Price of eggs.
You paid
it's not $100. It's not $100.
It was close. It was high. It shocked me. Eggs. And Sipple has eggs.
No, I'm bringing some in for you guys.
He has free eggs.
I'd like to have some.
We have not seen one free egg. Eggs are like $14 a dozen. And
you got to earn your eggs.
Yeah.
You got to earn them.
I agree with that.
You think you've earned them?
You have chickens? What? I have a rabbit. You have a rabbit?
Rabbits,
Jake?
Don't lay eggs.
No. Do you have a rabbit?
No.
No.
We do. Guess what his name is?
Toby.
Bugs.
Bugs.
Well, Bugs Bunny.
Bugs Bunny.
Duh.
Toby was a stupid guess. What an idiot.
Yeah, Toby. What is that?
I don't officially know. Qualifies as
Idle Chit Chat, sponsored by Newton's Lawn Care.
Yes, Bugs gets four mini carrots every morning at 4:01. And Bugs is fired up waiting for him when I come downstairs.
Did you get maybe five today because it's a big celebration day, Groundhog Day?
Might get a bonus something later, but just four. Bugs is supposed to be a dwarf bunny.
What kind of cake is that?
It's marble. It's marble on the inside. Marble. Yeah.
I'm going to take a big slice here in a little bit.
Yeah.
Can I?
Yeah. And the good thing is it's gluten-free, sugar-free, everything dairy-free, so it's very healthy.
I'm trying to figure out if Phil, Punxsutawney Phil, has seen a shadow or not. I think it's still ongoing right now. We won't know for another half hour.
We can check into that later.
We will do that. It's Groundhog
Day. The calendar says there's 6 weeks left of winter. That's what I'm
this
going
is, this by. Is what he came with this morning. He was like, screw the groundhog. The calendar says
just
this.
Just stay locked into the state of Pennsylvania right now. I think that's where everything kind of goes.
They decide the fate of winter at this point in spring. So
it's a myth.
You can say what you – wow, look at you. Just.
It's a very odd winter when you drive around here and there's zero snow.
I know.
And then you drive 2 hours north and there's like 9 feet.
And 2 hours west. Same thing.
Same thing.
It's really odd.
Yeah.
We don't have any snow coming in sight.
No.
It's fascinating.
It's like just all –
I was thinking about that.
Southeast Nebraska has had nothing. Everybody else in the state. North, every part besides this area down to Beatrice, nothing. Just very minimal snow. And they've had like more snow than they had in years.
God, that's fascinating. Yeah. Now that's fascinating.
Yeah, it's like a weird little pocket.
That is odd.
We're just getting rain or nothing, and everybody else is getting pounded.
Wow.
by snow.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
The one year I had free time to run the snowblower, I wanted some snow.
You're like, come on, bring it on. I'm ready.
Here we are on February 2.
That's right, Groundhog Day.
Yeah, and you still got a lot of time. I mean, you got February, March, and April.
You got a chance.
But here's the thing about that snow. Okay, we're full blown idle chit chat. We got to get to Matt Rhule. We're full blown idle chit chat way too much. But the thing about the snowblower is in March and April, then the snow's heavy and it can be ineffective.
Yeah, it can be ineffective.
You want the snow January, February if you want to use it and not be pissed at the snowblower.
Yeah.
Because you're
digging out.
The snow sucks
snow
in March.
Out.
It's terrible in March. Yeah. It's not light. It's nasty. It's a nasty snow.
I mean, you are on this one.
It's very true. You're right.
Yeah.
All right. That's Idle Chit Chat sponsored by Newton's Lawn Care.
Just one question.
On this wonderful Groundhog Day. What's your question?
What's the groundhog's name?
Punxsutawney Phil.
Punxsutawney Phil. Phil.
Yeah. But you got to have the first, Punxsutawney. It's a big part.
If you don't have Punxsutawney, you don't have me.
Punxsutawney.
Just so you know, the movie is shot in Punxsutawney.
So Punxsutawney is a real place.
Yes, in Pennsylvania. Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania is where this has been a deal for a long time.
This is where someone will say, Sipple, it's like he's dropped out of a spaceship and he's on Earth for the first time.
It really is. It upsets me that the banks and schools are open.
It upsets you.
Yes, it does.
I bet they're not open in Punxsutawney. Maybe the whole state of Pennsylvania, actually.
Might be.
But the rest of the states, I get it.
Yeah. I like that top he's got on.
LSU.
LSU.
I got a lot of gear from a lot of schools, so that's like in my repertoire.
I'm bringing in
just random clothing.
Why are you guys throwing hands today?
There's some natural, because he made a comment about my hair, number one.
Okay.
Can we go to that? You brought it on yourself. You said
I'm awkward.
You said, what about my haircut? And all three of us in here were taken back. And I think that's safe to say. Would you agree with that, Josh?
Yeah, Josh. Yeah.
You were taken back, weren't you?
I was. Okay, well, here's you asked the question. Hey, you took off your hat, which you... usually when you get a haircut, you don't have a hat on over it the next day. It's like, let me show off my haircut. But it's concerning you have a hat on today, and you took it off, and you said, can you guys tell I got a haircut last night? And we said...
0 for 3. We all said no.
No. Yeah. And I'm very honest with you.
Yeah.
And I said, honestly, no, I can't tell. Yeah. And you said it was a long experience. It took forever to get this haircut, and we can't tell.
That's all it was.
Maybe after I wash it.
Could be.
No.
All right, let's do it. You got the haircut yesterday and haven't washed it yet. That's
it.
Usually, a general hygiene theory.
You want to try to stay shower with, to get the hair.
Try to stay with the hygiene.
There's hair residue that's just like sitting there. Hair that's just sitting just that she cut.
Hair residue.
Residue.
Yeah. Well, there's hair clips that you get. You they don't wash
I'll
them
shower
all out.
This morning after the show.
You better do that.
Be a friend of hygiene. Yes.
Better do that. 464-5685. Call or text as always. Watch and comment on Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, and Twitter. You, Sip, yesterday were at the signing day press conference with Matt Rhule. Was that sixth floor at Memorial Stadium?
Yeah, sixth floor. As usual. 2P, sixth floor.
Okay.
Yep.
I have some audio from that, but I guess before we get into that, what was the general tenor of the press conference?
What do you think the tenor was? I mean, it was upbeat.
I just want you to tell the people.
It was upbeat. Of course it was. He's very good in those situations. He really is. And some coaches are better than others. Most are pretty good at it. He's really good at it. He said some things that I thought were interesting, actually really interesting. He is – one thing – hold on, I'll get the quote. It kind of goes along with what we have been saying, Jake, that – he inherited a pretty good situation. He said, hold on, I got it. Here it is. He noted that the football team's fall GPA was 3.124. He said this. I think any time you have a football team that's over a 3.0 GPA, you have a really good culture. I mean, that's his words. Anytime you have a football team that's over a 3.0 GPA, you have a really good culture. He clearly likes what he's walking into. I like the fact that he treats the current player as well, because I think recruits notice it, how you treat the players already in the program. For a long time, this place, I felt, was so oriented towards incoming players that, and not necessarily the coach, but just the kind of the media, that it was almost kind of, it's sort of weird to me. Like if you were a third year player who's rushed for 2,700 yards, it was like, we'll get somebody better than him. Or if you were a rush in who was productive, but you were in your third year, it was like, we got these recruits coming in. That's the big thing. And he's not about that. In fact, he has said that. He said that we have to take care of the players in the program that are already in it.
I feel like when Frost was hired, was he bashing the players? He was saying more about, hey, I can't believe the things that were going on in the strength and conditioning.
He was saying,
you better get us now because by year two we're going to be a problem, or year three.
Right, which was kind of in a roundabout way.
Kind of a shot, I guess,
at
the players. Yeah.
His rule has been very positive about the offensive line. He said this quote, I think the previous staff did a really good job with the big guys, the offensive linemen. I'm going to ask him today. I'm going to say that's not necessarily the sentiment of the fan base
or the media.
So what are you seeing? I just follow up and say, what? Because he has said on two occasions now, I like what we have up front. So those are the interesting things. Those are among them. There's a ton because he was up there for 30 minutes.
Yeah, here is Matt Rhule in general on the class he did bring in. Here's his general tenor on the players that are coming in for this first recruiting class.
When I see a kid who's a 47-foot triple jumper and, you know, likes football, I'm going to take a chance on him. And so if they have the right mental. And so I like some of those things that we were able to bring in. Had a lot of success over the years bringing guys in who are fast and finding the right position. And so – for us to increase our team speed. I'm not saying the previous team was slow, but just to bring in that level of speed to me is really important. And then we brought in some size and, O-linemen, you have to grow them. You know, it takes a little time with them. They have to get in the weight room. But I like the group that we brought in.
Not sure what that sound was behind. That's like people were cheering. But
yeah, I don't think there was any cheering.
I don't know what that was.
There wasn't any cheering. No.
Josh, what was that?
That was me. I recorded that. I don't know what's going on with that. But there's Rhule on his first class.
It was sort of interesting, too, that he said he watches the press conferences of his assistants. He watches them, which I don't know how many head coaches do that. He didn't really say why. I'm going to ask him that today, too. Why do you watch all those guys? You know, their assistant coaches are having their own individual pressers. Bill did that. He makes sure he watches them.
I think it's always good to have your thumb on everything. I would not, if I was an assistant coach and someone's saying they're, you know, the head coach can be watching and stuff, that'd be great. Great watching.
Really?
Yeah, you want them to watch you. Yeah, you want to be prepared and you know you're ready to go. And also it gives you a chance. You can always read about it or hear it live is the correct message.
Yeah.
Is everyone in line with the correct message with what's being said? You know, so all of a sudden you have a statement the head coach makes and then someone else has one that's not quite the same. That immediately alerts. I don't do interviews or anything like that, but that would alert you immediately right there. If you're sitting there watching that, you'd be like, hang on now. He just talked about speed and trying to take a chance on someone with that ability that likes football. And then somebody else might be like, we need football players. Speed's not what we're worried about. Let's just get – or whatever. If you had a different comment like that, that would not sit well. I know if I was a head coach, I'd want everybody to be in line with what was going on.
Yeah, and he know. He did – you know, Terrence Knighton's a D-line coach. Yeah. He said the words. I wasn't a big fan of what Terrence said in this instance. He said Terrence Knight on Monday, he's the D-line coach.
Yep.
He said that the staff is really competitive. He said we try, you know, they kind of try to outdo each other. And Rhule yesterday said he wasn't a big fan of that comment. I'm sure I don't think Terrence Knight's in any trouble, but he said you can't have it so guys are trying to one-up each other in recruiting, for instance, where you're trying to sign, you know, Coach A is trying to sign more guys than Coach B. That's not that can create problems, right? It could mean you're getting guys you don't really want, but Coach A is just trying to outdo Coach B.
Sure.
So he literally said, I wasn't a big fan of those comments, I thought, oh, God, Terrence.
Terrence, watch yourself.
Yeah.
Watch
yeah.
yourself.
But that's exactly what he means and what he's trying
to say. Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. What I'm trying to say is that I want people in line with what we're saying and how things are being done. So I'd always invite it. It'd be good to have, I'd rather have a head coach saying like that, listening. That'd be great. I'm like, go ahead and see what, and then, because you know that also carries through the whole staff. So like that's I think it's a very professional thing to do.
Yeah, and I think if I was an assistant, I'd watch the head coach. I'd know every word he says to the media. If I were an assistant, mm-hmm. I'd want to know what's on his mind.
Yeah. A lot of places are different. So, like the LSU was NFL based.
Okay.
Ed Ogeron was the voice. Like on a day like this,
no coordinators spoke there at all.
Coordinators would speak occasionally. No assistant coaches. Honestly, you know, Coach O was several times he would allow me through Derek Pinanski to be on the radio. And so if it was a radio that he'd say they want to talk to somebody, O would say talk to Bush, get him on there for whatever reason. So I did a few radio things, but they were very calculated. And so as an assistant coach also, it was great because you didn't have to worry about talking.
To talk to the media?
It's okay, but it's also at the same time, it's nice not to be like, hey, the reason was for him was, hey, there's one voice.
Right. Now, it's different.
NFL is like that. You don't all of a sudden, no one's talking to the DB coach
right.
in an interview on ESPN after the AFC Championship game.
But you understand, I get that. You understand in Nebraska, the fan base considers the assistants like stars. You know, they want to know them.
Oh, absolutely. I think that is good. I'm just saying there's different methods of how people do it. There was never like people like, we need to hear from the assistants. It's like LSU was like, no, we're fine to hear from the head coach and the coordinator occasionally and that type of thing. It's a little different.
It's
bizarro world. But the people recognizing you, knowing you. I could go around anywhere in Madison. I'm saying if I went out 20 times, I'd get ID'd once. If you go out here 20 times, you'll get ID'd 19.
Yep.
So they have an idea who you are, whether they come up and talk to you or don't, you can just tell that you've been ID'd who you are and what you're doing. So LSU, same thing. I remember going out with my wife to a bar or restaurant right after we beat Auburn on the CBS game of the week. We had that on 2:30 and great game. Like that, we're sitting there. My wife goes, "There's no one has any clue who you are." And
really?
I said, they didn't. They didn't know. No idea.
Way different here.
Yeah, where if you were here, it would be like me after a game here, just be cruising around Barry's. And that, no one would have one idea who you are. That's yeah,
the Husker Bar. Yeah, just nobody knows you. Just have a beer.
That's interesting. Now, Rule also. Now, I don't know. These are the kind of things that interest me. I don't know if either of you would be interested. He just said flatly, "We should recruit well here."
I got that one.
Hit it.
Here is Matt Rule on that.
Nebraska, we should recruit well. We have. We will always probably appeal to a certain mindset. It has to be someone who really likes football, has to be someone who also wants to go to school, has to be someone that wants to be developed on and off the field. It has to be someone who likes to work. But the brand itself, the fan base, the town, the city of Lincoln, and the facilities, I think a lot of those things are unparalleled. They're unmatched.
Yeah,
because there's now. I will tell you that in 30 plus years of covering Nebraska athletics, not just football, I've had coaches over the years. I will not name them. Say no, this is a real tough place to recruit to, really tough. And sometimes an off the record conversation, there'd be some level of excuse making. So I don't know. I got to say, I think it's a tough place to recruit to. I mean, Bill,
I would be if you had your choice. It's like, hey, I'd like to recruit here because there's all the things that what he had just mentioned. When you have I always feel there's a fanatical fan base.
Yeah.
That gives you a great shot.
Does it?
Gives you a great shot over several schools. It gives you a great shot. if you have a tradition, there's still a lot of tradition. Anytime you have a place that has the crowd that they have now, that's a big deal. Sold out games, all that energy, everyone's into it, all those things. Then you have an elite new facility. Facilities, surprisingly, are unreal, but it's not as big as what it used to be. There's some people that the money's not going
used
always 100. It used to be the arms race was like, well, they're going to be way ahead because their facility's way ahead. Nah, not so much.
10 years ago,
maybe 5 years ago. And that's a little bit more because now there's NIL and different things that go with it. But I think you can recruit just like Coach said, the right person here, the right type of fit. Where it's difficult is what I talked about before was you want in person. Face-to-face meetings with your players. So when you're in, a lot of times when I was in like the Southeast and the SEC, well, you'd see these guys like 9 times a year. They'd come to 4 games. They'd come to 2 camps. You had all this stuff. So you're around them all the time. And sometimes it keeps getting better. And sometimes it's like every time I'm around this guy, I don't feel a vibe that I really like.
Ooh,
there's different things or body demeanor. So you're always around him. And then again, having him live. What is your live contact with him? How hard do you get to coach him and practice him and do those things during camp, during summer camp?
Summer camps.
Or do I get to go watch him? I thought, hey, yeah, what'd you do? I spent the day there. I watched him practice. I did this, all different things. That was his basketball game. Is right now, you can watch juniors, not now, but during the contact period, you could go watch sophomores and juniors play basketball because there would be seniors on there. You could legally go to a basketball game. So it's another evaluation. So it is harder because of just the number of what's the population, 1.7?
1.8 now. Like 1.8.
So just the area, it's harder. Now. So that's where it's harder to recruit just because you're going to bring players in from distance, and sometimes you don't get to spend as much FaceTime with them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And see them live.
But what he said about who they recruit or who they target, okay, he says it has to be someone who really likes football. Now, a lot of wouldn't most programs identify that?
But I was going to ask, when you're recruiting someone, how hard is it to know if they do love football? Because there's some great players that you just don't know deep down if they truly love what they're doing. How easy is it to find out if they love the sport and want to go long-term with it?
First way I'd start would always be competitive spirit, which means are they multiple sport people? So it's like, well, how's that carry over to football? That means they just like to compete. So guys like to compete. The great ones that played here, they like to compete in practice also.
Yeah.
They enjoyed it. They enjoyed embarrassing you during one-on-ones. It was a big deal for them. It wasn't like – it's not a big deal. Yeah, I didn't win a one-on-one. Whatever. The ones that enjoy that and do all the multiple sports and compete, that's what you're looking for to see if that's the right person. At LSU, the one-on-ones were on Tuesday, and on Wednesday when the meeting started, we watched them. Not every one, but we'd show them like that. So you knew if you won or if you got beat, it was going up in front of the whole team.
Intense.
And so you went to one-on-ones, it was like you knew right away if you're a corner that got beat. Yeah. Boom, 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 Jamar Chase beat you and like that. It's like, oh, tomorrow, it's showing up.
Yeah, it's going to be on the
film. It's showing up.
Wonderful.
So one way or the other.
Wonderful. Hey,
Coach O would kind of balance it out.
Can't wait to see me get beat.
Yeah. Well, also, again, when you went to when one-on-one started, and then also you always showed the bump combo drill, which is a two-on-two drill, and then you always have some clips of inside run. And so it would show those things. So that was always an interesting way. But that's the way that I can always tell if someone likes football.
Like that.
But the question is usually it's 100%. Hey, do you love football? Oh, I love football.
Yeah. And but they don't always.
They don't always love football.
Okay, so he also said, Jake, in addition to that, so he said it has to be someone. This is who Rule said they target. Now, again, okay, it has to be someone who really likes football. A lot of coaches are targeting that. It has to be someone who also wants to go to school. I mean, I guess that's implying that some places the academics are more emphasized than other places, probably.
I think they all emphasize it pretty good. I understand what Coach is saying there. The big advantage that Nebraska has is whether it be the Bill Belichick, the Nick Saban of academic people, that's Dennis LeBlanc. He's the number one academic guy, basically, in the history of college football.
Dennis LeBlanc.
At Nebraska, 40-plus years. The academic All-Americans almost double the next. I mean, it's ridiculous what they've done at those spots. The top They call them top six finishes. That's like the Heisman of academics. Look at the football players at Nebraska that have earned the top six award. Mm-hmm. Trev's one of them mm-hmm. that have earned that award. And just if you just their due diligence by that group of people at Nebraska is unparalleled to anyone. There's no one that this is where everyone would come to. So if you're going to go, you're all of a sudden you do a lot of professional growth in coaching. Mm-hmm. Where do you want to go? I'm going to go to the Bengals. I'm going to go to here. I want to go to Navy. I want to learn some triple option. I'm going to go to this place. What about how to set your academic program up through every phase that we do? Where would you go? Nebraska, Dennis LeBlanc.
That's interesting. Then and here you go. Here you go. Nebraska football, Jake, Bill. Nebraska football graduation success rate 92%, highest in school history.
Wow.
That was as of November. So now this is what I'd ask the texters that always text in and say, oh, the program was in shambles. What about this conversation suggests it was in shambles? In November, Nebraska had its highest GPA, highest graduation success rate in the history of its program. It had a team GPA of 3.124. The incoming head coach says that is indicative of a great culture.
Well, think about this. Compare right now to when Scott Frost took over. I mean, it
wasn't a great.
Although the records are similar, the program's not doing well under Riley and Scott Frost. It does have a different feel. I mean, that 4-8 year in 2017, mm-hmm. it was disastrous because of the way things happened. The team looked like they quit at times. Now, got blown up by Minnesota. Iowa killed you. I mean, they just got crushed in so many games where the last couple of years, this team has lost, mm-hmm. but they haven't had the moments where you said, well, yeah, they gave up. You just, mm-hmm. you've never seen that.
No.
Despite the losing. You've not seen that. So I'm with you on that.
But it is accurate. Generally, anyone would tell if it was that had answered a quiz show and they would say, how do you think the academics went on a team that had a difficult win-loss record? Everyone would answer, oh, it wasn't good. I guarantee you that their GPA wasn't good. I guarantee the study hall wasn't good. I guarantee class attendance wasn't good. Because everything just kind of drops off. That's where that's where Mickey did a great job of keeping everyone engaged, the coaches. So there was it wasn't a feeling of like, whatever, man, I'm out of here as a coach. So I got to figure out where my next job is or what's going on. How everyone stayed locked in, that's what carried through with it. But if you get a chance, if you're ever down at Memorial Stadium, you get a chance to like pick someone up and carry him around, it'd be Dennis LeBlanc. That's the guy you want to pick up and carry. How about the small parade?
Yeah.
If there's going to be a parade, I'd have him lead it.
So we should, and he would, so you'd give him a piece of that cake probably.
You know what? And he would enjoy the cake too.
Yeah.
He sits in a very visible office that's all glass. And it's right where everyone has to come by his office. So I'll sit there and talk to him. He'd be no one display. It was like in here. I need to see you.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fascinating.
No. Don't think that this guy's like a Bear Bryant up in the tower guy. Uh-huh. No. He's mowing. He's lying in the fields. Yeah, he's lying. He's getting the stuff done. You in here. Like that, and in a very tough manner, too, of how things are going.
I'm glad we're talking about Dennis LeBlanc. I mean, I've been aware of Dennis LeBlanc for 20-plus years. I know he does a great job, but he doesn't get talked about very much.
No.
Jake, what else you got?
Punxsutawney Phil saw a shadow.
Meaning?
6 more weeks of winter. Yeah. That's news as of 1 minute ago.
That's what the calendar says.
So. Yeah, there's Sip. The curmudgeon about,
yes.
about the Groundhog Day.
Be negative, you know what?
Our
fan base isn't. They embracing the day. They understand. They know what this holiday means to me. They know what the cake means to me.
It might be a negative.
Yeah.
If you walked in saying he's going to see a shadow.
Yeah, you didn't
the
care.
The calendar says 6 more weeks of winter.
It might be a negative.
What time did I send you happy? Did I send you guys a text this morning?
At like 5:04.
Yeah, woke me up.
I was awake for that.
You keep doing that. We're going to throw hands for sure. Yeah.
It actually was like 4:32. It was 4:32.
Yeah. Was it 4:32?
Check it. 4:32.
I am not up at 4:30.
So I saw it at 5:05.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you got no one you sent.
I'm not raining on your parade at all.
Yeah.
4:19, actually.
4:19.
Do you feel like I'm raining?
Because I woke up excited.
I'm raining on Bill's parade?
A little bit.
No.
Josh felt it. He felt it. See? Look at him. Yeah.
This is a top 3 holiday for
I know,
for
I should be more yeah, mindful. And he brought cake.
You said he's going to see his shadow. It's just the calendar. Yeah. That's what you said.
Anyway, they'll probably be Hy-Vee will be busy now with a lot of groundhog cakes, I'm sure.
I bet you have a lot of these going on.
Happy Groundhog Day.
Happy Groundhog Day.
We have one here at the studio.
I'm going to get into that cake.
Yeah, you better.
We're going to get a picture. Can we put that up? Do we have any sort of social media?
Yeah, we'll get it on social media. We'll get a picture, and then we'll get it on social media after that with the picture.
That'd be outstanding.
Of the cake.
Yes.
He's a hey, Bill's a big Twitter guy. We know you're big, oh, yeah, big Twitter guy. Big Twitter, Facebook guy, all that good stuff.
Got to get him on there.
I'm on Twitter.
Are you active?
No.
We got
my mom. Well, I do a little bit of that. My daughter runs that. Which can I add something? This goes into idle chit chat.
Yeah,
we're sponsored by Newton's Lawn Care. Just keeps on going. I love it.
So something pretty cool. So I have stepdaughters. So I got married later in life. So they are awesome. They treat me great. My stepdaughters are my life. My wife's my life. But my stepdaughters are so awesome. So my oldest one, who's in UNO getting her master's degree, shows me a piece of paper and sends a picture this Monday like that. She went down and got her name changed. She's now a Bush.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah.
Where'd she do that?
In Omaha.
At the courthouse?
Yeah. I was pretty teary-eyed when she told me that.
Yeah, that's true.
That's great.
That nice. That's not even idle chit-chat.
That's serious
news.
Important.
Yeah, I was very excited about that. So now we have another Bush, yes.
Yeah,
so.
Nice.
Oh, that's awesome. Cool. Congrats.
Okay, where are we going now?
Well, one last thing.
We're going to go to break.
Do you want to play the audio about Xavier Betts at all, from Matt Rhule?
Sure.
Okay, yeah. Matt Rhule comments on Xavier Betts, who's back with the program as of right now, right?
With Isaiah Garcia Castaneda.
Yeah. Yep, here's Matt Rhule on Xavier Betts.
I love Xavier Betts, and I don't love Xavier Betts because of who he is as on the football field, because that's what's wrong when people think you only love him. I love who he is as a person. I like getting to know him. I like that, you know, I appreciate it. He texted me happy birthday yesterday. Okay, that means something to me. Like, so I like who he is as a guy. I'm rooting for him. I'm anxious to see him kind of get back on the football field and do well in the classroom. So I'm anxious to not just give him a chance, but to be an advocate for him.
Rhule turned 48.
Yes, 2 days ago.
2 days.
On the 1st, February 1st.
Yeah.
Matt Rhule.
So, yeah, he starts fresh with Xavier Betts, who obviously has some talent.
A lot of talent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See where all that goes. It'll be very important winter because Xavier's, you know, you got to get back in shape and all that.
Yes.
I'm sure that I mean, he's got to show his teammates some stuff, I imagine, too, I would think.
I think so, yeah. You got to earn the trust and respect back. Yes. Too, right? When we come back, hey, USC landed a four-star tight end that will not play for a full year because of a mission with his church, the Mormon church. Well, Coach Bush has some thoughts on that. We'll get that next in an early break in the ticket.